Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lighten Up. I am Jen Halterman. Happy to be with you today for this episode of Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. And today we are talking about slow down and be in this moment. And as you join me today, I want to really invite you to do your best to be present for this conversation. I know many of you listen while you're working and while you're driving and out and about and you're out walking, and that is all great. There's nothing wrong with listening while you're doing other things. But my invitation for you today is to do what you can to not only be listening to the show, but actually open to being receptive to the message. There's a difference. And I'm going to be talking about that. And here's a little background about this show, where this show came from. I actually had a really, just a sister talk, you know. I have amazing siblings, and we connect in all different levels. And yesterday I talked to my big sissy, and we were talking about just what's going on in our life and kind of catching up on some things, and she wants some feedback on something, and I was open to getting some feedback from her in a different perspective, and something came up in our conversation, and that was how much we, in our programming, in our life, in how we were raised, in the culture we were raised in, how we were raised to strive, to push, to always be on the go. And one of the ways this came up in our conversation was that our mom, bless her ever-loving, always-on-the-go heart, is always on the go. Always on the go. As in, she wakes up early without an alarm. Like, I do not know my mother ever sleeping in past. I mean, is she still in bed at 8 o'clock, it's usually because she's sick or she was traveling late at night or something. She does not relax. Now, that's not the only symbol, but that shows that she just is always on the go because, you know, I wake up early too a lot of times. But she goes nonstop. And I think the only time that I actually see her get still is when she's eating or when she's reading a book because she's always on the go. And when she's, she always has something to do. And that's just how I was raised. Now, I'm not saying that she's not happy, always on the go. I think she would actually be quite miserable if she wasn't. And that's just her. Now, those of you who know me, I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things. And I'm on the go. And my on the go is very different than Sherry's on the go. Sherry does a lot of things. She's always moving. She's a firefly. Up and down and back and forth and wiping the counter and, you know, like it just always, you know, piddling in the dirt while she's barbecuing and doing this and that. I mean, we all do it differently. So I want to be really clear from the beginning of this conversation that being active in your life is not a bad thing. And having your own pace and rhythm is not a bad thing. Okay? But what I am talking about is slowing down in a way that you are in this moment, right here, right now. And so as we start this conversation, as we start the show, I invite you to be here now. And that means, do you feel yourself all the way in your body? Do you feel your toes? Do you feel your hands? Do you feel any pains or discomfort that or within your body? Do you feel yourself in your body fully right now? Also, do you feel your emotional body? Do you feel that your emotions are present within your body, that they're emotions about you? Not that they're engaged all the time, not that they're always expressing, but they're there. They're just part of who you be. Okay? Are you aware of your thoughts? The way your mentality, your mental capacities are doing? And can you ask them to just, I'm going to take this time to listen to this show and all that stuff that you've got to tell me about, I'll get back to you. Take a break. 55 minutes. Okay? And then your spiritual being, it's always there, but are you present with it? Okay, so just check in. See where your energy is. Are you aware of where your energy is? Are you aware of how far out to the world it goes, to it connects? Are you aware that it is transparently always in flux and flow, that there's no container for it, that it's just kind of there? Are you aware? Okay, so I really invite you to be present for this show. And the reason that I invite you to be present, because this is a practice. Slowing down is a practice. And how it became a practice for me means that I'm going to dial it back and tell you a little bit of a story. You know how I love the stories. I love metaphors, but this one is actually mine, so I'm going to call it a story. And, oh, funny. Sorry, just checking messages. You guys are good. You guys have a lot of messages coming in my way, and I really appreciate it. And when I'm alone on the show, you can tell when I check in with the messages. But, yes, thank you for letting me know you're here. Perfect timing. I'm so glad you're here. Send me messages. I'll check them as I go. But let's go back to the story of how I got here. My history is that I was raised in a household where constantly being on the go was, it's just what we did. I mean, I was raised in a religious upbringing where we didn't just go to school, but we had family activities on Sundays. We had youth activities on Tuesday. We had the children's group activities on Wednesdays. We, you know, there were dances, there was school, there were sports, there were all kinds of activities going on. And then Sundays, you know, quote, day of rest, my hell, we were in meetings for hours and hours and going and classes. And the way I was raised, I don't want to see that as a bad thing, because quite honestly, the way I was raised, my sister and I were talking about how much we appreciate that upbringing. It taught us so much. I mean, we had so many opportunities to learn and grow. And the reason that I study the way that I do so intensely is because I was taught it through religion. And the reason that I have no fear of public speaking is because I started doing public speaking, I think the age of, through 18 months to three? I think it was three when I started giving talks in front of people. By the time I was 12, I was speaking to an audience of, you know, a couple hundred people. At least. I started teaching classes at that age also. So I am very thankful for the skills that I learned. And it did keep me active and busy and all of that. So I don't want it to become about that being bad. But what it did was it instilled in me that I should always be pushing and striving, that there's always trying and forcing. And in my mind, I misconstrued the possibilities of creation and creating my life to become actually an expression of perfectionism and an overachiever, because I was seeking validation of my self-worth based on everything I was doing. Now, that wasn't ideal, but hell, I learned a lot, okay? So yes, that's the environment. Now, what was your environment? Okay, that's my story, one aspect of it anyway. What was your environment? Were you taught, you know, idle hands are the work of the devil? What are the other ones? God, there's so many things that we were taught about. There's so many quotes, and now I'm blank. Okay, what's your quote? That you have to be busy. You can't be still. You've always got to be doing. Yeah, you know, I was raised to always be a service. Always be a service, somebody. Always be a service. That's how you're going to get your reward in heaven. Okay, so what is it? What was yours? Because everybody, we all got some kind of something, okay? I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. Said, if I wasn't busy, okay, if I didn't look busy, if I was not busy, I was given chores to do. Now, the funny thing about that is the chores to do, if this person appeared to stay busy, those chores got put on other people. So they actually chose appearing busy to get out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And that became a habit. And it's a habit that as an adult, yeah, I can take 3 hours of work and drag it out to an 8-hour day. Not that that's what that person did, but that's what I'm saying. Okay. And so what unfortunately with this society, this culture is, we get into this do. And either we are overachieving or we're trying or we're, if I do enough, mom will be happy. If I clean the house, mom will be happy. If I mow the yard, dad will be happy. If I, what are all of them? You guys, there's so many thoughts bumping around inside my head. And we were trained or conditioned or we believed at some point along the way that if we do enough, then we will get that thing we're desiring. Most of the time it's love and attention and affection and approval. And so we go into our adult life, if I just do more blank, then blank will happen. So if I just study more, I'll get better grades. If I just try harder, somebody will approve of me. Okay? When I'm done with blank, then I will blank. When I'm done with what? College and I'll have kids? That one comes up. When I'm done with, you know, this job, then I'll, you know, play ball with my kids. How many of these things keep you going and doing all the time? I'll get back to my hobbies, my passions, my art, my creativity. Once I have a steady retirement in place, I don't know. What are these thoughts coming to me? Who's thinking loudly? Ah, I have messages coming in. Yes. Okay, so yes, a lot of these things we received, and they came, you know, I don't think that they were all really ill intent. A lot of times I know that giving my kids something to do kept them from bothering me when I was trying to focus on cooking or something. And so I would give them things to do, and it kept them, yes, it kept them busy, but it also gave them an activity so they felt like they were doing something. So I don't think it's an ill intent by our parents by any means, but I do know that it impacts our thriving and our striving and our pushing and that programming that keeps us always going, okay? So here's what I want, where I want to kind of bring us into. All those stories that we just conjured up, all that vibration of, yeah, I was raised this way. Oh, yeah, I had a sibling get out of chores. Oh, yeah, I know I totally manipulated not having to do what I didn't want to do by doing something that appeared to be better. All that that just came up, let's let it go. That was then, be here now. Be in this moment now, okay? Those are just reminders of your programming. You have the choice every single moment what you're going to practice. And after you practice skills that support you in creating the life you want, then they become the program you run instead of the old tapes from your childhood. That's why slowing down is actually a practice. It's something to do intentionally. And slowing down isn't about being lazy. There's a big difference, and I'm going to talk about that, so I hope you'll stick with me. When I talk about slowing down, the reason that I talk about it is I ignored it for a long time. I was doing so much and striving so hard that when my emotions were trying to get my attention, I ignored them. Sometimes they were mocked. Sometimes they were, you know, belittled. Sometimes they were used against me, and so I ignored my emotional messages that were coming in. And I just started being more active so that the emotions couldn't catch up to me. I would stuff them down, believing they were like a beach ball that I could hold under the water instead of a beach ball that was going to come out sideways and cause a hell of a scene. But my emotions weren't strong enough to get my attention, okay? And my thoughts that were racing when they would keep me up at night, and when they would be going and going and going, and I would be miserable, and just adrenaline and anxiety would just race through me 24 hours a day. They got medicated. They got medicated because I didn't listen to what they were actually saying. I just was given a pill. I numbed them out. And then my spiritual beliefs at the time were more, they were through the religious filter. And so what I actually started doing with the messages that the spiritual distress was sending my way was I did what I knew the religion said to do, which was do more, be more perfect, be more of service. Do more was a big theme in my life. If you're unhappy, you need to pray more. You need to read more scriptures. You need to serve somebody else. You can't do that and be unhappy. So go serve somebody. Go see what you can do for somebody else. And now there is some validity in that, but what you don't understand at that point in time, that doing for other people was me denying that my self-worth was all external based. That I didn't know that my self-worth was an actual inside job, as in inside me. And so I wasn't listening to it. And my energy was scattered, okay? I even look at pictures of back then and I just think, wow, that is a woman that is trying so damn hard. And so what happened was the last level is what finally got my attention. And that last level was my body. My body broke down. My body not only said slow down, but it said stop. It tried slowing me down when I had to have surgery and I had all of my, you know, complete hysterectomy and oophorectomy. It tried to get me to slow down. But it wasn't until it gave me a disease that literally stopped me and made it impossible for me to go constantly that I heard the message. I was forced to hear the message. Because nothing will really, I mean, you know, if you've got back pain or knee pain or a shoulder, you know, it gets your attention. You break a bone, whoa, holy crap, you can't deny that. But see, what happened for me is the message was loud enough that I heard it on all levels because I got MS, okay, so multiple sclerosis. And not only did it knock me down physically, but emotionally, I had no control over my emotions. I had no control over my thoughts. My God, I was so dizzy half the time that I couldn't think straight. I couldn't come up with words. I couldn't communicate. Spiritually, I couldn't pray it away. You know, energetically, I was that. There was nothing. There was a time when I would take a shower and then I'd take a nap. And then I'd get up and I would do my hair. And then I would lay down again. And then I would drive my kids to school or go pick them up. Because I was so completely wiped out, 100% depleted, that I had to slow down. It stopped me. And it took time to be able to gear up to even going slow. And that's a whole nother story and that's a whole nother topic. But the reason I bring that up is I don't want you to push until that has to happen. And if it's already happened in your world, I'm so sorry. That sucks. It does. I know it's hard. And you're not alone. And so if you are in that situation, just a quick interjection here, please get support. Do not go through those times of being down, alone, isolated. Get support so that you do have mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, energetic support also while you're going through those times because it sucks. And I know it and I've been there. And I have huge compassion for what it is that you're going through. I can relate to it. I know it sucks. I can't, you know, I can't tell you that enough. But I will say, don't isolate yourself. So get support. But for the rest who are listening, who are like, yeah, here's what I have to say. What messages have you hustled past? What messages of your life have you been so busy that you have gone right over the top of them? What messages of your emotional, physical, you know, mental, spiritual, what messages brought you to this show? I was very intentional with this show. Once I knew what this show was, I was very intentional about it, which means that my energy with this show, my emotions, my thoughts, my spirituality with this show is very intentional. And I did send out to the universe an invitation that anybody that this show would be a contribution to, please guide them to the show. So if you're listening, I don't think it's an accident. So why are you here? What in you is asking you to please be present in this moment? Because slowing down does not mean that you give up on life or that you quit fulfilling your dreams and goals or that you have no drive. It doesn't mean that you start Netflix streaming 24 hours a day. I'm not talking about that. But I am asking you to check in. What got you here? What wants you to hear its message? My interpretation of slowing down is to have a very big difference in not, you know, it's not about not getting anything done. It's about being present in the moment. So I ask you, what is the contribution of this moment to you? To you. I know that we can apply everything to others, and I know you may have thought, oh, so-and-so ought to hear this show, but you hearing this show is why you're here. Yes, you can share it with others, and I love when and I appreciate when people share the show with others, and then I hear from them, and I get to experience ripples, and I love also when I don't experience the ripples, and it just goes out, and somebody is touched by the show. So yes, you can be a contribution to the world. I actually teach that. I share that a lot. I always ask what the contribution you could be to others is, what's the contribution you could be to the world. But you know what? When I was sitting on the couch today and I just was in my space of listening, I said, what's the contribution I can be today? It was up to me to be present with that message. And that's what I'm inviting you to do. This slowing down that I'm talking about is a practice. It's a practice to do when you feel most rushed. You want to know what the magic of time warping is? Slow down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about it being in an emergency. What happens? Everything starts going very slow. Why? Because your complete presence and attention is in that moment. Because if, you know, for somebody who maybe they're driving their car and they're texting, they got, you know, oh my gosh, they're late to go pick something up. They got grocery shopping to do. They're thinking about what they're going to make for dinner. They're thinking about the meeting they've got tomorrow morning, wondering if they're going to get their presentation done. All of that, bam, they get a flat tire. Bam, there's a car accident. Bam, a bird hits the windshield, whatever that is. Boom, right like that, the universe delivered. Get present now. You're suddenly keenly aware of your surroundings. You're aware of everything in your moment you're in, not all of those things that are screaming for your attention. So why wait for an emergency to get your attention when you can do it yourself? Here's some of the tools for slowing down, but here's also some of the gifts for slowing down. Okay? You get very present. Presence is one of the gifts or the side effects, okay? When you slow down and you are completely present, you have more focus and your capacity to actually be a contribution to that moment increases 100-fold. Because if your energy, if your dynamics are scattered to all your grandkids, all your kids, all your friends, all your business colleagues, you know, everybody you're going to feed at Easter dinner, if you are scattered in all those ways while you're, you know, writing a check to pay a bill, what you're writing is not present. You're not focused. Your energy isn't present in what it is that you're doing. You know, that's how little mistakes can happen. It's also how big mistakes can happen. You know, signatures are forgotten. The amounts are wrong. Something's misspelled. I'll never forget. It was so funny. I was writing a note to for my daughter. She was going into school, and I had to write a note. I'm sure she was late or something. And I was talking to her about what was going to happen after school. And when it came time to sign my name, I wrote down her brother's name because I was telling her that that is what I was going to be doing after school. So I was talking to her, telling her that, you know, I'm going to pick up Tom. I got to go do this with Tom. We're going to go do this and this and this after school. So you're going to have to walk home while I'm writing a note. I signed Tom's name where I should have signed, you know, the name of the parent, which is me. And we had a good laugh about it, but boy, that was a really good wake-up call of, oh my goodness, you know, I even put Tom in my space when I was writing a note because I wasn't present. How does that show up in your life? When you're not present in the moment, how many times have you put the wrong spice in a meal you're preparing? I can remember, actually, I have a funny story about my mom. That's funny. I haven't thought of this for a long time, but, well, I opened up the MS story. So I can remember one day when my mom, who I was just telling you about, she's a go-getter. She's always on the go. And, you know, I love my mom. She is very active, very busy. And one day she went into the kitchen to get my medicine for MS. And anybody that knows, that's a hearty medicine that you get when you're on MS. And it has a whole lot of different things. I mean, there's nerve pain, there's muscles, there's, you know, focus and thought and all this stuff. She goes in to get my medicine, and she's walking across the living room or across her dining room to bring the pills to me with a glass of water because I am in a chair. And as she's walking across the room, she pops the pills. There was like three pills. She pops the pills in her mouth. And immediately her eyes got huge and she goes, oh my gosh, and she spit the pills out. And she was so, oh my goodness, oh, I can't believe I did that. You know, you'd have to know my mom. It was hysterical. And I was in the chair just laughing because she was so shocked that she had done that. But what she didn't realize was she was just rambling on about all the things, all of her to-do list, all the things she was going to go do while I was at home so that I would know where she would be, so that if I got in trouble and if I was in need, that I would know what her schedule was. And so she wasn't present with it. It was hysterical, you guys. And she was like, oh, my gosh, if I had actually taken those pills, she would have been incapacitated. She would have been, like, sleeping because those pills for nerve pain, man, they knock you out to stop the pain. And so we had a good laugh about it. And, you know, she was like, wow, I can't believe I did that. And she and I had a talk in that moment about how she was so distracted. And I was like, Mom, you know, you got too much on your plate. What do you need to do? And it brought presence to the conversation. Okay, but what in your life are you on autopilot and you're doing stuff that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Now, how many times have you gone to run an errand and instead of going to the grocery store, you head to your office because you're thinking about work? So you automatically drive your car to work and you're like, what in the hell? It's Saturday. Why am I at work? Well, guess what's on your mind? Okay, this is why presence matters. And you can slow down and get present with what you're doing. That's how we complete a task. A lot of times when we're multitasking, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, we're doing this. Somewhere along the way, you might complete a task, but you are like, you know, a firefly and you zip to another thing and you actually don't celebrate or honor the completion of that task because you've already gone on to five other things. Slow down. Huh. I finished that drawing. Oh. I'm just going to take that in that moment. Instead of racing to the next thing, I'm going to be present with this thing. It's just like with cooking. Yeah, I can talk about it. Well, I'm going to add intention here, okay? So one of the things that slowing down brings is presence, and the other one is intention, okay? So intention is taking all of my focus, my time, my energy, my thoughts, my physical awareness, my emotional awareness, and I put it into something. So intention is when you direct, intention is when you direct all of you in a direction, okay? So how this applies to cooking is I'm very intentional. When I pick up, like I did a Periscope the other day about I was making French toast. And I was very intentional. You know, nutmeg. I added some nutmeg to the mixture. And I added cinnamon. And because I was kind of distracted, I actually opened the other side of the cinnamon that's the spoon side instead of the shaker side, and I laughed about it. And then I did the shaker side, and I sprinkled some in, and a lot came out. I was like, oh, I guess a lot wants to be put in here, okay? When I intentionally cook, when I intentionally prepare a meal, everything about that moment of its creation goes into what it is that myself or others will be consuming. What they will be taking into their body as fuel is part of what I'm directing into every single bite. Now, if you've ever gone to a restaurant and you've gotten food back that you know is slapped together, the cheese isn't even straight on the burger, or, you know, everything is askew and it's just thrown together, you know it. You know that that chef or that cook or that, you know, whatever, that line cook was not present with your food. They just threw together what needed to go. But then there's the difference. And if you don't know that, like, go watch the movie The Chef, okay? Brilliant movie. It came out, I don't know, within the last 5 years. Brilliant movie. I love the movie. Makes me want to do a grilled cheese sandwich right now. But go watch that movie, because even in, you know, making a grilled cheese sandwich, if you are present, if you are intentional in what you're doing, it comes through in every bite. Makes my mouth water. It comes through in every single bite of what it is you've created. You are in the process of creating when you're cooking. I'm going to tell a little thing on Sherry, but she would tell this, so I don't feel like I'm overstepping. But one of the things when I came to visit, we didn't even know I was going to be staying, but came to visit, one of the things that I did, I brought presents to was, you know, yeah, I don't care if I'm making a sandwich. I put the sandwich together, intentional, you know, whatever I put on the plate with it, whether I put some fruit or even potato chips, I don't care what it is, vegetables, you know, a little potato salad, doesn't matter what it is. I think through it and I listen, what wants to go with this? Or sometimes the food is speaking and I listen to it. And Sherry would be like, wow, I can't believe this, you know. Most of the time I'd slap a sandwich together, wrap it in a paper towel, and off I'd go, and I'd be working or driving or going and doing a chore or whatever it is, doing paperwork at my computer. And I'm just looking at her like, oh, well, you can go do that. But I put it on a plate, then I sit down and I eat it, and I'm present while my body receives that food. Now, there are times that I do other things, but for the most part, I am present with what I'm making because I know that's going to go in as fuel for my body. Now, you know, I'll zone out when I'm eating Oreos or popcorn or whatever. Granted, I admit that this isn't a thing of perfection, but I practice it. When I'm practicing it when I'm cooking, when I'm practicing it when I'm eating, I become very aware of what the contribution it can be and it is to my being and my body. That's part of the gift of slowing it down. I have a friend who, she's a great mixologist. She shows up. She's so adorable. She shows up. She loves to make drinks, alcohol drinks, and mix them. And she's so intentional about it that I love when she comes in or I go to her space. She's like, do you want me to make you a drink? It's always a yes for me. I mean, unless I'm driving or something. But I'm like, yes, because I love the presence and the intention she brings. I appreciate it. She selects the glass or the whatever it is that it's going to come in. It's all there, and you know the difference. So what if you slowed down and brought presence and intention to putting on your makeup, to driving your car, you know, to writing a card, a message inside a birthday card, all of those things. Imagine what would be received then if you were willing to do that and if you did that, you made that your practice. The next thing I want to talk about is, as I check messages, hello, is awareness. Awareness. Okay. Now, awareness is a little bit of a tricky one because people think that awareness is when you get into your ego judgment or, but it's not. Awareness is when you have an inner knowing that comes forward. I'm so glad you're here. It's good to see you here. Good to feel you here. Thank you for being here. So when you slow things down and awareness has the opportunity to reach you, do you receive it? When awareness comes to you, do you receive it? Or are you going so fast that you pass it right by? You know the difference, don't you? You can feel it. Okay, so what is awareness? Okay, I'm asked for an example of awareness. Okay, here's an example from my own life. Going quickly. You show up, you meet with a friend, you're going to meet for drinks or, you know, tapas or share a whole meal, whatever it is. You show up and you're like, hey, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we have this time. And you get there and you talk, and you're, okay, so what's going on? This is what's going on with me, and da-da-da-da-da. And the whole time that you are in this space, you're just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Everything's good. Okay, great. Oh, this is great food. Okay, great drink. Okay, this is so fun. Glad we have this time. And you're fast. Let me tell you the difference. There's a difference in saying, hello, I am so glad we have this time together. So good to see you. I have a lot of energy. And because you slow down and you make eye contact, because you slow down, you're present in the hug or the greeting that takes place, you notice, you have an awareness. Huh, there's a little bit of sadness going on here and I don't know what it's about. Or there's an awareness of, there's a little bit of, oh, she seems like she's a little giddy. And I don't know what that's about. And the awareness gets you of something's off. Something's awesome here. And instead of diving into blah, 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 and this is everything about me, that I have to tell you, all the updates and everything you don't know that's gone on, you have the awareness of, wait a minute, something here matters. And you take a breath and you do the slow down and you get present. And the intention of connection comes forward. And the awareness of what's going on in the space that you two now have joined in, the container of that meeting for a drink or meeting for conversation or whatever it is, becomes very sacred. And even if that person doesn't have anything they want to bring forward and share necessarily, you have an awareness of creating a space that if they do want to share it, they can choose to bring it to the space. Do you feel the difference in that? Do you feel that invitation that you create for connection when you have this awareness? That is one of the gifts of slowing down. Because when you, if two people come together and there's, oh, I'm great and everything's great and I'm so good and I'm going to go do this, I'm going to conquer the world and I'm going to make $1 million and and the other person is like, ooh, I really want to share my diagnosis. I really need to talk about what's heavy on my heart, but they're not in a space. I don't want to bring the mood down. It's their choice, but I tell you what, if they don't feel that you're in that conversation with them, it is very unlikely that they're going to bring up what's going on with them. That is an example of how you slowing down, you become an invitation. Your contribution is an invitation for intimacy, for connection, for authenticity. Okay? All right, let's talk about witness. Let's talk about being a witness when it comes to slowing down. And this kind of does apply to this last one, the awareness piece that comes up. Being a witness to somebody's life is something very precious. Being witness to somebody's experience, you know, I mean, it can be hysterical. It can be sad. It can be powerful. It can be devastating, quite honestly. But when you are witness to somebody's life, you are one of the places that their life and their legacy go out beyond them. Now, not everybody wants to be witnessed all the time. It's true. Not everybody does. But sometimes when you do want that authentic, intimate relationship with somebody where you have no barriers between you, slowing down and witnessing them is one of the ways you can achieve that. One of the ways that that is nurtured and established. So, I have a very good friend, and I shared her with you here on the show. Angie came into my life, it was probably 2000, I don't know when we met, 2000, she'd probably be able to tell us. She has that recorder mind. I don't know, 2005, 6, 7, I don't really know. It doesn't really matter. And honestly, Angie and I have had some pretty big upsets in our relationship. We've broken up more than once. She'll laugh when she hears this. We've had a timeout from our relationship a few times. We've gotten downright pissed at each other. And there are times that, you know, we've been in a timeout and somebody will say, oh, I don't even, or, you know, yeah, I'd be mad too, whatever. And somebody may not understand our friendship. They may not understand our relationship. They may not like me. They may not like her. But between us, let me tell you what our bond is, okay? One of the leading pieces that have Angie and I in each other's life, the reason that I actually consider her my best friend, okay, truthfully, and I have a hell of a lot of best friends. I'm just saying, I have a lot of best friends. However, one of the reasons that Angie is in that best friend space in my life, she holds that space in my life, is because she has been one of the most powerful witnesses to my life. She has witnessed the time of MS. She's witnessed my time of, you know, going into spirituality. She witnessed the birthing and the reclaiming of my psychic and spiritual abilities. She's witnessed relationships. She's witnessed, you know, wow, she's one of the most steady witnesses of the process that took place when Kelsey and her family were killed. She has witnessed my happiness. She is one of the witnesses of my life. Being a witness is a very sacred thing. And I have been a witness in her life. Now, I have friends that have witnessed other parts of my life. I've got a sister that's one of my very best friends. And guess what? I was born into her best friendness. My oldest sissy, she that I was just telling you, brought this show about. She's witnessed it all, man. So being a witness is not something I take lightly, because I know how I cherish those that witnessed my life. And here's the truth. Here's a little vulnerable share. The actual instigating factor for me, who was always anti-marriage, I don't see the point. The choice point for choosing to marry Sherry is because I choose to witness her life and I choose her to witness mine on an intimate level. That's why. That's what changed my perspective, and my friends will laugh and they have loved teasing me about, oh, I'll never get married. I don't know why you'd need that piece of paper. That's what it meant to me. Until I realized that I had found somebody and was in love with somebody and adored somebody to the point that I did want to have them share that commitment, that vow to witness each other's life. Until we're not. That's where that comes from. For me, personally. So when you witness, when you're given the opportunity to witness somebody's life, I invite you to slow the hell down. Be in the moment with them. If they're allowing you to witness their life, let me tell you what, give them the damn respect to slow down for it. I know, I get a little passionate about that one. Be present with them. I had plenty of people witnessing my experience that they weren't slowed down for it. They were rushing around. They were trying to manage it and fix it and make it about them. And nothing creates connection from that space. So if you're honored with the opportunity to witness somebody else's life, show some respect. Show some respect. Yes. Thank you. It's about damn time. I love you guys. I have some awesome friends. Thank you. So show some respect. Yeah, choose to honor the opportunity to witness. And you know what? If somebody is witnessing an experience in your life and they're not respecting it, either call them on it or choose a different witness. Somebody isn't present in your life, and they're holding the space of witness as a spouse or a friend or whatever, and they aren't there, you got to look at it. Sometimes illness is in the way. That's true. And I understand. I'm not saying go divorce everybody that you're married to that's being an asshat. You know, like, give them a break here for a minute. You did choose them. So I'm not going to advocate a bunch of divorces here. But what I am saying is, be clear about what you're choosing in your life. And if somebody can't fill that space, then have somebody else. Yeah, best friends. Sometimes, you know, Angie can't witness something because she's not here. But Sherry does, you know, or, you know, my other friends. I've got friends all over the place that can witness. I've got my Lori's and Shirlene's in Colorado, and I've got, you know, Angie's and Shelley's and Julie's in Utah. And then I've got siblings, and then I've got friends here. I've got the Judy's and the Christie's and the Kim's and Teresa's and, you know, people here in Texas with me, and I choose what they witness, and they choose what I witness. And I tell you what, if I don't honor what I'm witnessing in them, the truth is, I don't have the right to demand that I get to witness that if I'm not going to respect it. So be really clear about that, slowing down and being aware that you are witnessing somebody's life. Okay? Show that the respect. The other piece of this, and I talked about it on my morning Periscope. If you follow me on Periscope, it's at Music and Laughter, all spelled out. I did a Periscope, a card reading today. It was from the Psychic Tarot for the Heart deck, and the card I pulled was Listen. And Listen. And that's the other aspect of this slowing down. Listen not to conjure a response. For God's sake, take a breath between and slow down the conversation. But instead, listen for a place of understanding. Listen to hear and understand, not listen to give a rebuttal or listen to have the right antidote to return or to, you know, be able to jump right in and turn the conversation to being about you. There is a lack of connection when you're in a conversation with somebody like that. If you've ever watched, and it's kind of one of my favorite things is to watch people, and you watch a group of people who are talking, say a group of people come together and everybody's talking all at once and, you know, everybody's trying to be loudest so that everybody can hear them, or else there's a bunch of small cluster conversations going on. And I've witnessed this, and I've witnessed when one person does everything they can, every opportunity they can, to make the conversation turn to being about them. They don't know how to listen to what other people are saying and honor and reflect what they're witnessing and hearing by asking questions, by having empathy, by saying, that's amazing, what are you going to do next? By being in curiosity and being able to keep that wonder going about the conversation. And that's always about self-worth of the person who's trying to make it about them. So here's what I would really love to say about this. This slowing down is a practice. Yes, you can absolutely be busy. You know, I'm creating my Jen's Address book, which will be launching over the weekend, and you'll hear all about it. Go to social media, follow me, Jen Halterman Now on Facebook, and you'll hear all about it because I want to be really intentional with what it is that I share through my email list. And so I actually have a presentation for people to watch before they join my email list, because it's not just about joining it because you think that you want to be part of the numbers, but there's actually an intention to it. And I want people to know me already. So get to know me, go over to Facebook, Jen Halterman Now, and get to know me, because as I've been working on this project about creating this address book that's not about marketing funnels and all the sales bullshit that I hate so bad, but instead about creating relationships and connection and being a contribution to the world, as I've done that, the truth is the energy and the intention of this creation has slowed it down more and more and more. It's amazing. Like what I thought I'd kick out in, you know, a few hours, oh no, it's taken 3 days. Why? Because every time it turns into the hustle, every time it turns into the push, every time it turns into overachiever or trying to be a perfection, guess what? Something pushes the brake, it pumps the brake and says, slow this down. This isn't hustle. This isn't striving. This is be present in this creation because I have a very clear intention for it. And I want to honor it. And I want to honor not only what I send out to people, but what people receive. And I want to honor people who are in the address book just as much as I'm asking that they honor me as well. And so I've been working on that, and it's been such an amazing thing because as I am getting so much done, you know, it may be, how are you getting done? It's taking so many hours. I'm telling you what I am completing is complete, intentional. It's whole. It doesn't have just put it out there and throw, you know, I'm not throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks. Because my intention, what I'm creating is, I'm creating the container where I'm going to share my heart. I'm not creating a container where I'm going to, you know, trade a PDF for an email address. I don't do that. I'm not creating a container where, okay, you're on my list, And now if I have a million people on my list, 2 to 3% will buy something. This is what I talked about on yesterday's show with email marketing and stuff. But as I am creating that, that's not what I'm doing. I don't want to sell to 2 to 3%. I want everybody on that list to be somebody that says, I know, I like, and I trust Jen. Not, I'm here to be an antagonist. I don't like her. No, if you don't like me, don't be on the list. That's how clear it is. And I don't want to fill up your inbox. So I'm very intentional about what I'm creating, just like when I'm cooking. So I'm cooking up my email list. Guess what? It's a connection list. It's not for marketing. It's not just about you're going to get something from me. It's you're going to have the opportunity to receive from me. And if you don't choose into receiving, you don't need to be on the list. It's okay. You can let go. And that's because it's not about selling. It's about contribution and creation of relationships. And that's more important to me. Yesterday at the end of the show, I got a little bit of hater jive coming in at the end of the show about emails and, oh, you're talking about this and I make lots of money. And you know, I wanted to follow up with this gentleman, sent me a follow-up message after he checked in with his own accountability buddy and realized, oh, you were just saying what you do. You weren't saying it was bad. It does work for people. You just don't like it. And he got accountable and he thanked me for the message, thanked me for the clarity. We had a lovely exchange and I do appreciate him and his vulnerability in reaching back out to me to say, oh, I took personally what you said. And my invitation to him was, when you take something personally and you make what somebody else is sharing from their heart about you, it means that something within you is really not comfortable with that. And today I received a follow-up message of gratitude. And I want to say, you know, when you receive a little nudge, maybe a little humility comes your way, maybe you get your butt kicked by a stranger, maybe somebody says something that makes you feel uncomfortable so you realize that you're actually dishonoring you, that's part of the gift of slowing down. Part of the gift of slowing down is actually hearing what's the true message that's pissing me off here. Because if somebody's pissing you off, they're a gift. They're either a gift of, hey, you got a boundary violation going on, clean it up, or they're a gift of, oh, man, I am in denial about what it is I'm doing in my life. And are you going to receive the gift? But I'm telling you what, you got to slow down to receive it. So this weekend is a holiday. Not everybody celebrates it, but it's an Easter weekend, and for anybody who is celebrating it, if you're going to get wrapped up in that, I invite you to practice a slowing down and be in this moment the entire weekend. Whether you're celebrating or not, whatever you do, whenever you're listening to this, for the next 3 days, will you choose to slow down, be present, listen to understand, be available to receive the awareness as it comes. Be a witness. Be intentional with everything that you do. Whether you're driving, having a conversation, cooking, whatever it is, my invitation to you is to slow down and practice this for the next 3 days. Because you never know what can change in 3 days' time. You might change your whole life. You might get a lot of clarity out of the next 3 days. And that's my intention for this show. Thanks for listening. I'll be back with you next week. Thank you so much for being in my life. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.